Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
So I often speak here about the size of shows, or more specifically, the size of venues they fit in. More and more these days do very well for off-Broadway companies like the Public, New York Theatre Workshop, and the Atlantic. But when they move to Broadway, well, the scorecard is mixed. Some transfer well. Hamilton, Chorus Line, Once, The Band's Visit, and Fun Home come to mind. Others, Bloody Bloody, Andrew Jackson, Eclipsed, Peter and the Starcatcher, and others will not, well, not so much. Let's keep an eye on The Slave Play, soon to open at the Golden Theater after a successful but controversial New York Theater Workshop production. And this week, I saw another in that class, one that did well at the Public earlier this season and has now been transferred to the Hudson Theater on 44th. Now, it has a big name attached, which always helps, but it still raises the same questions. But let's get specific here. The play is called Seawall, A Life, and it's actually two stories in one, a pair of monologues about, well, frankly, about death in different forms. So if you're looking for a fun and lively night out, this one is not for you. I wish it had been more for me, too. The first monologue is written by Simon Stevens. Now, he's the man who successfully adapted The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime for the stage. The second piece is penned by Nick Payne, who wrote Constellations and many other plays. Constellations was notable on Broadway for being a two-hander for movie and TV stars Jake Gyllenhaal and Ruth Wilson, and by the way, for charging regular prices for a show that ran just over an hour. Well, Payne is fortunate to have Gyllenhaal this time, too, not only because his is a recognizable name, but the actor works really hard in getting every ounce of humor out of a script that has very little of it. It also, unfortunately, offers little original thinking. Now, that could be said of both monologues. The first half of the evening stars Tom Sturridge, a lesser-known but serious stage and screen performer. And let me say up front that both Sturridge and Gyllenhaal should be wildly commended for taking these monologues on for almost a year, obviously pouring their full selves into what is not stellar material, but certainly allows them to show every emotion a man who becomes a father and has been a son feels. Now, I won't give too much away, but Seawall involves a man deeply in love with his wife. She had us all wrapped around her fingers, he says up front. The same goes for the baby girl they have, and miles away we see exactly where this one is going, and it is not a happy place. Now, there is the obvious symbolism of a wall underwater and attempts at humor that seem forced. Does God look a bit like Danny DeVito, asks our storyteller? And there are attempts at wisdom. If this can happen, anything can happen, he concludes. Sturridge, as I said, works hard with material that is painfully predictable and predictably painful. And Gyllenhaal also has a rather tired tale. His is about the circle of life, a parent dying just as a new baby is born. Yes, the Lion King said it better. Now, I don't know why every time there is a monologue or a one-man show about a new father, it's like he's the first one to ever understand and embrace the joys and fears of parenthood. When she tells me she may be pregnant, I am in the middle of roasting a chicken, he tells us at the beginning. I am in awe of my wife's cervix, goes another profound revelation. Gyllenhaal does take breaks from center stage to run out into the audience for some hyped up and not particularly witty stuff, but the audience seems overeager to please the movie star by laughing when he seems to need it. Both the monologues feel oddly dated. My hunch is they were written several plays ago. The TV reference they share is ER, for example. The movie My Girl also comes up, as does John Legend's Imagine. But they're on cell phones and so on, and so it's difficult to get oriented. I do appreciate the themes they share, that life is precious. There is a story behind every stranger's door, that we all have to move on from unexpected tragedies. But let's face it, this would not be on a Broadway stage without two well-known actors. And again, I applaud their commitment. Now, I did not see the show at the Public, but I have to assume it felt more powerful and intimate there. These characters, after all, are confiding in us. But hey, if the material mattered more, I don't think this would be an issue. Now, speaking of intimate, I also saw a play, one that is still in development, called Rose's War. Now, this I saw off Broadway on the Lower East Side in the Clementi Cultural Center. It's part of a new venture called the Rave Festival, 20 still developing works by up-and-coming, they hope, playwrights. Rave is the brainchild of Tony Award-winning producer Ken Davenport. Rose's War is a thoughtful, musically pleasing piece about a black woman and a white soldier during the World War II period. It needs plenty of refining, which is one of the advantages of a festival like this. The folks behind the shows ask for feedback and take it very seriously. Rose's War has been at least 3 or 4 years in the making, but still seems frighteningly resonant. One character of the large and largely African-American cast says, "They don't even know me, but they hate me." Well, tickets are very cheap for the festival. You still have this week to catch many of the shows, including Rose's War. Now, as for other theater news of the week, let's see. I mentioned the producer, Ken Davenport. Well, he will be bringing Harmony, a musical created by Barry Manilow, to the stage. Apparently, Manilow has been working on and presenting this in other cities for decades. Well, it will arrive here in February, though not on Broadway, but rather the Jewish Heritage Museum in Battery Park. Go figure. Yet another revival is coming to Broadway in the spring, How I Learned to Drive, which starred Mary Louise Parker in an off-Broadway production in 1997. And Parker will be doing it again, this time on a large stage. Uh-oh, here we go again. The story is a small one, being about sexual abuse between two people. Well, we shall see how it fares or feels different post-Me Too. It is, after all, written by a woman, Paula Vogel. And another well-known actress, though known more for film than stage, is Uma Thurman, who bravely starred in a very poor play called The Parisian Woman a few seasons back. I thought perhaps like Julia Roberts or Julianne Moore, who also did not fare well on the Broadway stage, Thurman would quietly go back to the security of the screen. But I give her a lot of credit because she has had nice reviews in Williamstown, performing the words of no less a giant than Anton Chekhov in his play called Ghosts. And Jill, aren't you lucky? It's in your neck of the woods.
Sorry, just had to throw that in. I have a question to ask, and that is, and this was asked to me by someone who is out of the country, who is currently happily living in Mexico City, where he, a New Yorker who is living in Mexico City, where he looks back on his, you know, just shaking his head. But he's fully immersed in the same world that, all right. And he said, you know, if Martians took over the Earth, he said, we grew up, you know, pretty much around the same time. Mm-hmm. And he said, it seems to me that if Martians or whatever were reading a history, or if just people were reading a history of this time, mm-hmm. and he was far more specific, but he said, you would think that many of the things that are being, for lack of a better term, raised or addressed or never happened before. Like, no babies have ever, there's never been fatherhood. This is what is apropos. There's never been, you know, does anyone remember?
That's true.
Franklin
don't they say there are only 3 stories to tell, you know?
But does anyone remember Franklin from Peanuts or Josie and the Pussycats or anything? I mean, it is just pretty staggering looking back on the fact that about 40 years of, let's call it evolution, mm-hmm. you know, for better or for worse, it's a mess, right? But no one ever said that baking was neat, you know what I mean? You know, you get the ingredients out there and you just, it's a mess.
For the best, yeah.
But it's, the certain things are being revisited as though they've never happened before. And while there's an audience for it, I guess, it's mm-hmm. pretty it's a pretty interesting sign of the times. Like I don't know what it's a sign of, but what is with that?
Isn't that what creativity and art, you know, is all about? Finding new ways of telling old stories. None of us have really new stories to tell. We have our own stories to tell, which is, I think, what that monologue, those monologues were about, that, it, you know, everybody has a story to tell. Okay, fine. But I know what you're saying, that...
What he was saying was basically...
it's the same old, you know, why is this new?
It's not even why is it new. It's how did you forget that...
Yeah.
That how did you forget Guess Who's Coming to Dinner?
Right, right,
How
right.
did you forget To Sir With Love?
That's right.
How did you... What happened to that bit? I'm not saying that it must... I'm not saying it shouldn't be revisited, and of course it should be. And I'm not saying do a revival. I'm just saying what happened to... It's all being addressed as though it's never happened before.
Yeah. Well, that's really an interesting thought. I mean, it's just giving me ideas about other things, believe it or not. It's a very interesting question. New writers, obviously, and they think they have their own takes on. I forget what the one-man show was earlier this year that a guy did. I didn't see it, but everybody said, you know, he stood up for 90 minutes and talked about what it was like to just become a father. And they said, everything he said, well, we've heard 500 times before. Yeah, maybe he's got new jokes. Maybe he's got somewhat of a new take on it. I don't know. Do you stop telling? No, you don't stop telling. You know what they say, never forget. Otherwise, we'll repeat our history. But I don't know what to say. And I thought about that after seeing Rose's War, which I don't want to talk too much about because it's really still in very much in development. But I was thinking, what was the last World War II thing I saw that was interracial? You know, is this a new idea? And so, obviously, you know, people find something, a nugget of something, and they think, hey, you know, this is a slight different version. This one was by James Baldwin, so therefore, you know, it has his voice. There'll be things, I'm sure, by Toni Morrison now. Actually, I saw one by Toni Morrison on stage in Minneapolis. It was based on her book, and the play wasn't written by her. So there are always new and upcoming artists. I guess you'd say the same maybe in the painting world. I don't know, because you're more connected to that world than I am, the gallery world and all that. Obviously, every painter is different, but are they paint? How many times have we seen Jesus?
Yeah, know? and I don't have that, because I've been out of it for so long. I don't know what new is. I'm just responding.
I think that's an interesting thought, that if somebody popped down and said, "Wait a minute, weren't they saying this 50 years ago?"
It's not that it wasn't being said, but it was being looked at, and I'm very happy for it to be looked at through new eyes. That's not what I'm saying. Saying is the sense that it has, many things have the weight and the heft and the dynamic that this is the first time we're looking at this. And that's what he was mentioning, and that's what I was responding to. It's like, well, wait, this isn't the first time. Now, it doesn't alter or minimize your experience and really interested in it, but where's the, like, what happened all the times it came before?
Yeah, it's about great writing, and this was, you know, what we saw was not great writing, but you could have told these same tales. I got five ideas watching, you know, the one with Jake Gyllenhaal and about his father dying at the same time that his wife is giving birth. And I had five ideas watching it, how it could have been more powerful. It felt very lazy to me. You know, I thought, we're not getting a set. God, if he only would have opened with this, it would have been, you know, easy for us to say, I guess, sitting out of the audience. But that's what happens when you deal with old material sometimes, that the writer maybe has no interest in renewing. I don't know. But it's a very interesting thought. And More to be discussed. And what am I seeing this week? I don't know. I've got something, a couple things coming up this week. So anyway, this will continue.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.